T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is being brought to you by Land Rover Chicago, just off the Kennedy at Armitage Avenue. I am Lawrence Holmes. This is my show, The Crew. Tony Gilzer, executive producer. Rick Camp, also alongside, just being a savage today on the microphone, coming up with all sorts of stuff. We are having a good time. We talked with Joe Madden earlier on the show. We talked a little baseball. We talked about your sports exes and the ones that you want to do well versus the ones that you wish would leave you alone, Jimmy Butler. I get the opportunity to talk with this guy occasionally when I go sit in over at Stadium, and I love talking basketball with him because he knows what's going on. He's got all the sources, and he joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. It's Jeff Goodman. You can follow him on Twitter at Goodman Hoops. You can watch his stuff on Stadium at Watch Stadium or watchstadium.com. And he joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Lawrence? How are you, man?
I'm doing really well. I'm so glad that my listener gets the opportunity to hear you on the show, because I think that you're tremendous, and I'm glad that we get the chance to talk a little basketball. I want to start with the Warriors, if we could. They got some special dudes, and I obviously with an MVP like Steph on their team and KD, but the way that those guys have played, what are they now, 30-1 without Kevin Durant but with Steph? How have they been able to continue to play at this high level and play this style so effectively?
I mean, I think they're just self-motivated guys for the most part. Like, I've known them all since they played AAU ball, whether it was Steph or Draymond. And I've known KD since he was 14 years old. And, like, most of them are just self-driven guys, and they're different. They're different personalities. I think Steve Kerr does an unbelievable job of managing people. He's about as good as anybody that I've come across in any sport at any level at that, of pushing the right buttons and giving them the freedom and letting them be them, which you have to do in that situation. But, you know, ultimately, with or without Kevin Durant, like, take him off the team, they're still the best, you know, talent collection in the NBA. I mean, you've got Steph, who's an MVP candidate, has won multiple before. Draymond, who I think a lot of people kind of question him because he wasn't playing that well halfway through the year. He got in better shape. You could see it with his body. I just wish I knew how he can lose that much weight that quickly, because I'm going to ask him, because I need to try to follow the Draymond Green diet, but he'll balloon back up probably after the year.
Well, that's a good feeling when you can win and you lose the weight, win, and then balloon back up to get back to your favorite types of treats. I'm all for that plan as well. What did people get wrong in the scouting of Draymond Green? Because here in Chicago, there was big talk. Tibbs wanted Draymond Green, and they ended up with Marcus Teague instead of him. But what is it that doesn't necessarily show from a scouting standpoint, because I think he's one of the more unique talents in the NBA.
Listen, nobody, including Draymond, thought he'd be this. He could say it all he wants, but I remember going over, we judged a slam dunk contest together in New Orleans, whatever that slam dunk three-point shooting deal is that Intersport puts on. It was in New Orleans. It was the two of us and the little running back, Pierre, what's his name, from the Saints, Pierre.
Not Pierre Garçon. Why am I blanking on
Thomas?
This? Pierre Thomas. Yeah, but from anyway, here, from the area.
Pierre Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the three. And Draymond was so excited because he got paid. We all got paid $500 for it. Well, I think we all did. Maybe Pierre got more than we did. But Draymond and I got $500. He was so excited to get $500 because it was, you know, he just graduated. It was the first time. But again, like, I'm sitting there sharing the limo. We're driving over, and I'm thinking, like, maybe this guy will make it in the league. Maybe he won't. Like, I got no idea at this point. He was such a great college player, but you just didn't know the way the game was headed, right? And it fits Draymond to a T, because everybody wants those versatile players and versatile forwards, and that's exactly what he is. And then you have the added bonus for Draymond that, let's face it, every three-pointer he takes is uncontested. So he's got time. He'll make enough because they are uncontested, but everything else he does. And I think the personality and what he brings to the table is perfect for that group. Because Steph and Clay, they're just so – I mean, Clay's super mellow, and Steph's pretty darn close to mellow. And then you add KD, who's kind of in between, somewhere in between Draymond and those guys.
What went wrong for Portland? And I asked that question kind of tongue-in-cheek, because – they were competitive in their sweep, if there's the opportunity to be that. But why weren't they able to sustain big leads and hold on against the Warriors?
You know, if Myers Leonard had just – it was crazy. I'm watching that game last night. I'm like, what the hell? Who is this Myers Leonard? I haven't seen this Myers Leonard since – and I got the AU program wrong. I tweeted it out, and it was actually the Illinois Fire, who I remember well. But Myers Leonard – they just didn't have enough consistency around CJ and Dame. And Dame obviously was hurt. He wasn't himself shooting the basketball. And they need those two to be elite level. I mean, they got to play with Steph and Clay. And then even beyond that, they just don't have enough.
It didn't seem like they had enough. And they ran through them. And Steph, we'll always be enthralled by Steph the shooter. And I think that it allows him to do all sorts of other stuff, Jeff. But I've made the argument that he belongs in the GOAT conversation. I know it rubs people the wrong way. But my goodness, all the things that he does and the way that he changes the calculus on the floor is amazing to watch.
Yeah, because he can make people better too. I mean, that's the thing with Steph, obviously. You know, his bread and butter, his ability to shoot the ball and even get to the basket and slither through and finish kind of around guys. He doesn't usually finish through contact that often, but finds a way to avoid it. But, I mean, when he wants to, he can make people better. And again, I think that's a gift. Somebody who, again, scores the ball as effectively as he does, but everybody loves playing with him. And that's rare for, again, a guy like that, but he can make people better, and just the way he does it without much of an ego. I mean, everybody's got an ego at that level, but I don't know. I love Steph. All those guys. I don't know Clay that well, but like Steph, and I know KD's gotten a lot of crap over the last couple of years, and I think the hard part for KD, and he denied this when I asked him this a couple of years ago after he left for Golden State. I said, Was it hard for you, the backlash you got, because he was a pleaser and nobody ever, like, there was never a bad word said about KD basically until he left Oklahoma City. And then he just got it from all angles, and he denied that really was getting to him. But I really do think it did, because he just wasn't used to it. He was used to being kind of the golden boy and everybody loving him. And then he went to the villain very, very quickly.
Jeff Goodman of Stadium joining me here on The Score. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at GoodmanHoops. I watched your breakdown of the candidates for the Michigan job on Stadium this past weekend. Juwan Howard, we're hearing rumors that he might be the guy. What are your sources telling you, and would that be a good fit?
Yeah, I think that's the way it's headed right now. It looks like Juwan Howard is a front runner, and Luke Jokić is kind of fighting from behind, and this thing could be done today. I'm surprised. Here's why I'm surprised. Because Ward Manuel, the athletic director of Michigan, was at UConn when Jim Calhoun was basically forced to resign and retire because of health issues. So Kevin Ollie was promoted. And Kevin Ollie did well enough that Ward Manuel gave him a long-term deal. I mean, he won a national title. And then it all just broke down. I mean, it was a train wreck after that. Kevin Ollie didn't work hard enough. Former NBA guy. So I just didn't think that Ward Manuel would do this again, and it looks like he may, with hiring another former NBA guy, where you just don't know if they're willing to work and work at a high level in terms of recruiting and everything like that. So I get it. Jalen Rose and all the Fab Five guys, everybody wants Juwan Howard back, and he's done a great job. I've talked to a couple people, sources who have interviewed him for NBA jobs, and they said he's really impressive. But the big question is, can he coach? Can he coach? And my big question is he going to be able to recruit? Now, Penny Hardaway's done it, and everybody will point to that at Memphis. But the difference was Penny Hardaway was an AAU coach and a high school coach for a couple of years and knew what he was getting himself into, number one, in terms of work ethic and recruiting. Number two, he coached the number one player in the country, James Wiseman, who he ultimately landed, and that snowballed into a bunch of other guys. So we'll see. I would have went with Ed Cooley. I don't think they offered Ed Cooley the job, and that's why he pulled his name out of there, the Providence head coach. I think Cooley would have killed it. But we'll see with Juwan Howard.
What don't the NBA guys know about the grind of being a college coach?
Well, again, it sounds good in theory, but when you are like an NBA guy, I've talked to Brad Stevens about this plenty. So when Brad Stevens wakes up, he can watch some film. He then goes to maybe shoot around or practice. They'll practice a minimal amount of time in the NBA because of all the games. Maybe go an hour, sometimes if that. So they go an hour, and then Brad Stevens will drive home, let's say mid-afternoon, and nobody calls him. And he says that. He's like, I look for people to call. My phone never rings. I'm driving home, and nobody calls me. He goes home. He can watch tape if he wants. He can have dinner with the family. No, that is not the case in college. Not if you want to do it right. I mean, you're on the phone every waking moment dealing with whether it's putting out fires with your program, whether it's calling recruits, whether it's dealing with your assistant coaches, whether it's fundraising, whether it's dealing with compliance. There's just everything. It's 24/7, and most guys just aren't able to do it. And that's why if you look at the success rate of former NBA guys that have millions and millions of dollars in their bank account, and aren't necessarily fighting for their lives, right? They don't need that paycheck to survive like some of these other college coaches might. The track record's not good, and I think that's a major reason why.
Okay, let's go back to the NBA for a second. The Raptors-Bucks series, should the Raptors be encouraged by what happened in Game 3 or discouraged that they gave their best effort and still took double overtime to win a game where Giannis wasn't his best self?
No, I think they're fine. I think they win this next game, and we're down to a three-game series. Like, I don't understand everybody was saying, like, this series is over after game one. Well, game one, they had control for most of it. And yeah, game two was ugly. But to me, again, you got a whole court at home and then try to steal one on the road. Easier said than done, but I really think this series goes to seven. I think these teams are very, very evenly matched. The biggest difference for me is Milwaukee's star can make people better. And Giannis, Kawhi, that's not what he does. Like, Kawhi's unbelievable. Both ends of the court. He's gotten so much better over the years on an offensive end in terms of shooting the basketball. But ultimately, Giannis, if you want to double him, if you want to build a wall on him, he knows what he has to do. And that's, be able to get his teammates the ball in spots where they can be successful. Kawhi really doesn't know how to do that. And that's not his strength.
There was a report. There are reports circulating that Jimmy Butler had dinner with Jim Boylan, and maybe there's a reunion that could happen between the two sides. What, Jeff? Like seriously? Like, what would that make any sense for the Bulls to do, or Jimmy to do?
Well, all right. So here's the thing: I could actually see Jimmy really liking Jim Boylan, right? I mean, he didn't. He liked Fred Hoiberg as a human being, but he just couldn't deal with Fred Hoiberg and the fact that it was all about offense, offense, offense.
I'm told that Jimmy and Jim are actually pretty close. That's what one of my guys told me.
That would be I would believe that 1,000%. Jim Boylan's more of like in that kind of Tom Izzo mold a little bit, and defense, toughness, all that grit. So I get all that, but if you're if you're the Bulls, you really want Jimmy back? Do you really want to do this again with Jimmy Butler?
I know that we don't.
I wouldn't either. I honestly, Lawrence, I wouldn't either. And listen, I respect the hell out of Jimmy Butler for how hard he plays on the court. But, man, that thing did not go well the first time. And I know he won't have Dwayne Wade to saddle up to this time and turn the entire locker room basically against the two of them. Anytime you can have all the young guys loving Rondo, there's a problem. There's a major, major, major problem because that just shouldn't happen, you know, where they're siding with Rondo over Jimmy Butler. But that just shows you kind of where Jimmy's come. It's kind of Hollywood Jimmy now. And, again, respect the hell out of him for what he does on the court. But, man, he can divide a locker room.
You and I have talked on the stadium about Jared Culver. He's a guy that I like quite a bit as a player. I imagine he'll be somewhere in the area where the Bulls are picking. What would you suggest that the Bulls need to do? Do they need to just go with a board, or do they need to go specifically after a point guard?
Well, I think you don't specifically go after a point guard, but in this case, I think it makes some sense because, to me, again, I think Coby White has a chance to be really, really good. Like, I like Coby White more than Garland. They're totally different, completely different point guards. You know, Garland's kind of in that kind of poor man's Chris Paul mode, you know, like, you know, small, can play ball screen, can shoot it, can pass. Not a great, great athlete. Coby White is bigger. He's so fast. He's still learning to play the point guard position. Never really played it before he got to North Carolina and wasn't set to play it. When he got to Carolina, they had to put him there because the kid Felton, Raymond Felton's nephew, got kicked out of school. He was going to be their point guard. So Coby White, terrific in transition, can score, can get to the basket, can shoot it from deep. Love the fact that he doesn't give a you-know-what about, like, any of the attention or any of this stuff. He just wants to play ball. So I would say if somehow Coby White makes it to seven, he should not make it beyond seven.
I always ask my basketball guests this question. What is the perception of the Bulls franchise outside of Chicago?
Still high upside, high potential, because you can, although they haven't done a great job of it, you can get big-time free agents. So the franchise, I think, has a lot of growth, a lot of potential. But unfortunately, right now, the people running the franchise don't have a lot of credibility with Gar and Pax. And that's the biggest problem right now is the decision-making. Although they've drafted well. The last couple of years, you got to give them credit. They've drafted well, but ultimately, a lot of poor decisions being made, including for me, the worst one. When you hire Fred Hoiberg, you know what type of players, what type of personnel you need to try to be successful with Fred Hoiberg. They, like, got the exact opposite personnel. So I don't understand that. I never did. They set him up to fail. Not to say he was going to be a guy who ultimately succeeded, even if you gave him the right personnel. I don't know if it would have worked out, but you didn't even give him a fighter's chance.
Jeff, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for jumping on the show, my man.
Anytime, man. Anytime. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully I'll see you.
You got it. That's Jeff Goodman of Stadium. He's tremendous. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should be at Goodman Hoops. You thought you got the swerve there, Campy. You thought that Goodman was in the bag for the Bulls, and then he swerved you a little bit.
Yeah, just like defining franchise versus people running it. That raised my eyebrow there for a second.
I mean, but I don't know how you can separate the two. It's like they're so connected at this point.
I think for us, because we're in it, I think if I were doing a thumbnail of what Jeff said, the name brand for the Bulls outside of Chicago is still high. People still respect that brand. But because we live it every day, it doesn't pop the same way for us. For us, it's like, ugh. And outside of the house, it's still like, oh, the Bulls. What if I think it was Richard Deitch. He was talking about when he was looking at the ratings for the Eastern Conference Final, he was discussing how if the Bulls were good, that would help change things from and I was just sitting there like, yeah, but that's a big old but.
Could you imagine if the Knicks and Bulls were even relevant at the same time?
Could you imagine if the Knicks and or Bulls were as good as they thought they were?
Your band.
Yeah, we need to go back to the band. This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on the largest gathering of Bears players and fans ever at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through the 9th in Rosemont. Get free autographs and photos. See one-of-a-kind panels with the 2019 Bears Hall of Famers and other alumni together on stage. Weekend passes are still available. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to jump back into the conversation about the Cubs and talk a little bit about last night's game and tonight. And saw a couple of old White Sox getting into it. I'd like to discuss that as well. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
So last night, we didn't even talk about the White Sox losing. And the thing is like they bullpened a start yesterday, and things didn't go that badly for them. They could have gone a lot worse considering who you were playing. I think this will be the week where my glimmer of hope about the White Sox 2019 season is extinguished. I think this will be it. I would love to be wrong. I'd love for the White Sox to win the next five against Houston and Minnesota. I'm even thinking about going up to Minnesota this weekend. I haven't seen Target Field yet, and it's kind of on my list. And the weather looks like it's going to be just okay enough.
It's still cold here.
Well, it won't be tomorrow. It's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow.
We'll see.
Well, I looked at the forecast, and the forecast in Minnesota was like 73 and sunny on Saturday and Sunday, and they're both day games. So I'm debating it. It always happens where like a holiday like sneaks up on you. And I found that lately I have been paralyzed by choices. Like that's become a thing with me. Like, oh, we should do this, we should do that. And then nothing happens.
Paralysis by analysis is what I'm best at.
Man, can't be. I'm sitting here like thinking about trips, and I want to go see the Negro League Museum in Kansas City because my birthday's coming up, and I'm thinking, oh, let's go do that. And then I'm like, do I really, like, after I see the museum, after I hang out with Bob and I see the museum, at the end of it, I'm still in Kansas City. So do I really want to do that for a weekend?
It's like St. Louis, if there was anything interesting there.
They do have the Bowling Hall of Fame, I think. And Ronji lives there. So you were
my
right.
My statement stands.
Yeah, your statement does stand. And so I'm sitting here going, man, this is a good weekend for me to do it. I didn't even know that I'm not here Monday until yesterday.
I didn't know until today.
Yeah, I asked Shane. I was like, hey, what are we doing for Memorial Day? I didn't, because, you know, sometimes, like, if you look at the host here, some of them will say, I'd rather get the company, so I'll work the holiday. But Shane was like, no, you're off on Monday. I'm like, oh, well.
I'm just finding that right now.
Sorry, Tony.
I was today years old.
You were today years old when you found out that you weren't working on Monday. Or maybe you are. You come in and do some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. If I just don't show up, I don't know if I get paid.
Texas says Sox play in Kansas City on the weekend. Yeah, that's exactly why I would go. It would be the White Sox and the Negro League Museum. But then I'm still in Kansas City. So I'm debating it. But this weekend, I'm debating, like, what to do. And whether or not, like, maybe this is one of those staycation-type weekends where the weather – wait, will the weather be nice this weekend in Chicago? Let's see. Because that plays a significant role. Not that it matters. I mean, it's my city, and I love it, and it doesn't matter. But we're high 70s, but lots of rain this weekend in Chicago. So if I wanted to go to New Buffalo, that'd probably be a bad idea. I do love New Buffalo, though. It's quick. From my house, I can be in New Buffalo, Michigan in an hour. Because I got Leadfoot, and I live right off the Skyway. Gone. Any hoozle, that's not why you called. Last night, I don't know if you saw this, but Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier had words for each other. They play on different teams, but they used to play on the same team. And Herbie threw out a thread last night about Adam Eaton. And he is one of my least favorite White Sox in history. And you probably remember, or maybe you don't, because some of the people that I interacted with on Twitter in this regard had forgotten the part where Adam Eaton said that Drake LaRose, how old is Drake LaRose now? Is he like 18? How long was that, 4 years ago? That Drake LaRose got kicked out of the White Sox clubhouse in spring training? Adam Eaton came on our air. I believe he was on with Bruce Levine and talked about how Drake LaRose was a leader on the White Sox. And from that moment on, I was like, this bleep right here. So anytime that anyone wants to have words with Adam Eaton, I am all about it. And then you add to the fact that it's Todd Frazier, who's like the nicest guy in the world. What does it say that Todd Frazier was in the same clubhouse with this dude and he thinks that dude is a clown? And we'll say it publicly. I ran across a quote, and I remember it because I was in the spring training before things got all haywire. I was talking with Robin Ventura about Adam Eaton because Adam Eaton in a spring training game ran into a wall on a home run that was 10 rows up. And Robin Ventura said at the time, and look, I want to get the quote exact because it is the most damning nice quote I've seen from a manager. God, I got to get this. I should have thought about this before I started the segment. But it just made me laugh because Robin doesn't really do that. Like, Robin's not the guy that's going to really take after someone, get after someone. But it was hilarious to me that he decided that he would throw some shade his way. And what he ended up saying was, it's what he does. He's really good at it. Talking about him running into walls. So anyone that wants to take on Adam Eaton, as far as I'm concerned, is great. Because he just never got it, ever. Even with all the talent that he has, he just never got it. Texas says he was great at running into outs too. Yes, tremendous at it. And tremendous in injuring himself, running into walls, trying to catch balls that he wasn't going to catch.
Which, Diamond, was it Wellington Castillo or Miguel Montero that wanted to beat the crap out of him when they were both in Arizona?
It was Montero, remember? Because that was like a big thing because they were in the city at the same time.
Right, because I remember when Adam Eaton was acquired, a lot of us were kind of like casually like, oh, that's kind of odd. I wonder why this is.
Yeah.
And then we found out.
And now you know. And knowing's half the battle. But it was funny to me that there were so many people like, oh, I didn't know. Well, what makes you think that Adam Eaton's a bad guy? Because I covered the team. That's why. That I talked to the people over there. And they couldn't wait to trade him. And luckily, Rick really won that trade. And each day that you see Giolito and Lopez go out there, it feels even better. Because they got something for nothing. Feels very good. Very, very good. All right, I strayed off the beaten path. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cubs, but I didn't. I will in the next segment and add something in about the, this is funny. Texter, you are great. This 815 Texter says, he's like the evil twin Aaron Rowan. Yeah, but here's the difference. Well, evil. Rowan was beloved. Even with all of the crazy, I'm going to break my face trying to catch a ball stuff, he was beloved. That was not the case with Adam Eaton. Hashtag Team Frazier. All day, every day. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.